Today on Real Radio.
Remember how I told you that Jesus commenced with this broad brush overview picture and he talked about the destruction of Jerusalem? Are you with me? That happened in the past, right? Right. Then there are things that are escalating upward and onward to the culmination of his second coming.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 21. The passage tells us of the Messiah's closest followers firing questions at Jesus having to do with future events. As we are learning in this mini-series, some of the prophecies have been fulfilled, some not yet. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more in his mini-series called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus.
Now listen to this. But where the Lord is not wanted, the Lord does not stay. America, wake up. Israel's an example. Jerusalem's an example. Wherever the Lord is not wanted, the Lord will not stay. And Jerusalem, Israel, and the Jew has suffered brutally to this very moment. Why? Why? Because they've rejected the prophets, they've rejected the scriptures, and they've rejected the Messiah. Pains me to say that, but it's true. However, that's going to change. That's going to change. Hey, you want to get freaked out? By the way, don't raise your hand right now. You probably get mugged if you do in this church. But if you don't like Jews, if you're anti-Semite, if you're here today, maybe you're against the Jews. You better listen to this. You want to change your mind really quick because Jesus warns, you don't mess with my people. And check this out. No other race of people in the history of the world have been hated more than the Jew, mocked, rejected, tortured, abused, and enslaved as slaves than the Jewish people. And yet, Jesus said, listen, look, verse 24, and they will fall by the edge of the sword. Has that happened? Throughout history. And they will be led away captive. Has that happened? Where? Where are they going to go? Look at your Bible. Where do they go? Into all nations. I encourage you today, this is a challenge. Are you ready? Want to fight? Here we go. Find me a country where there are no Jews. If you believe that you are a Jew and you belong to God and you are of the promised chosen people and Jerusalem is your city and Israel is your country, then what in the world are you doing in Tonga? Then what are you doing in Tahiti? What are you doing in Iran? What are you doing hiding your faith but having been born in Saudi Arabia? What are you doing as a Jew in America? What are you doing as a Jew in Japan? Find me a country where there's no Jew. Here a Jew, there a Jew, everywhere a Jew. Why? How? Because God's word is true. He dispersed his people to the uttermost ends of the earth. He keeps his word. And by the way, the same God that drove them out because of their unbelief of their own prophets in the Old Testament, because they would not receive Christ as Messiah and brought upon themselves the Holocaust, it's the same God that says, I will bring my people back. I'm going to bring them back home into their land. I will uproot them. I will bring them from their nations and I will bring them into their own land. God says this. Isaiah chapter 43. Don't look at the screens. I'm remembering it right now. Isaiah 43 verses 1 through 11. God says, I will say to the west, have my people come. To the east, I will say, let them come to me. I will say to the south, bring them. And I will command the north, let my people go. Look it up. God's people. He's not done with them yet. Yes, they've lived a horrible, horrible history, self-imposed by rejecting God. But listen, America is on the brink of doing the same thing if we haven't already. We need to wake up. Serious. Mark this verse down. Am I excited? I'm yelling. I'm sorry. Hey, mark it down. Hosea chapter 5. Hosea 5:15, written 720 years before the birth of Jesus. This is 2,000, oh, imagine, almost 3,000 years old if you think about it. Hosea 5:15. Thus says the Lord, I will return again to my place. He's leaving. Till they, who? The Jewish people, acknowledge their sin. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. Hosea 6, verse 1. The people respond, come and let us return to the Lord. Oh man, I can't take this anymore. Hosea, you guys, from chapter 5, verse 15, there is a period and a quotation mark. It ends. To chapter 6, verse 1, it's the next statement. 2,000 years have elapsed between the closing verse of chapter 5 and to the opening verse of chapter 6. Don't tell me you shouldn't read your Bible slowly and carefully. Look at this. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, Holocaust, but he will heal us. He has stricken, Holocaust, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Verse 3, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. That's what Israel is going to say about the Messiah, the one found in Proverbs 30, verse 4. The very Son of God of Proverbs 30, verse 4. Jesus said this way. By the way, this is noted as the saddest verse in the Bible. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But as many as received him, verse 12, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And all God's people said, amen. That is awesome stuff. Man, I tell you, I can hear honks, alarms, bells and whistles going off. It's amazing. Jesus said, Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles, the unbelievers, until the times of the end, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Meaning, there's going to come a time when God is done with the world. He will refocus on Israel, and at that same moment, by the way, the last Gentile will say yes to Jesus. The last Gentile is going to say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior, and that will be the last person. Can you imagine? It's going to continue until the time of the Gentiles is complete. Tick, tick. Can you imagine? How do you know right now if there's just 5 more Gentiles like us that need to accept the Messiah, and then we're out of here? Imagine. Could you be number 4? Could number 1 be in here? Come on, will you accept the Lord so we can get out of here? Hurry up. Romans chapter 11. Listen to this. Romans 11, 25. Paul spoke to the believers in Rome. And some of them were Jewish. Some of them were Italians converted to Christ. And so he wrote this letter to the church at Rome. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this very mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles is complete. Verse 26. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's another name for Israel. He had his name changed, remember? For this is my covenant with them. I will take away their sins. Amazing. Awesome. There's going to be an explosion, my friend, of Jews coming to know Jesus as Messiah, Yeshua, Savior. Among the Jewish people around the world, there's going to be an explosion of them coming to the Messiah. And then also, we close with this consideration. He expects you and I to be looking ahead this way, my friends, looking ahead to get a greater understanding. Look at the closing verses, verses 25 to 28. Wow. By the way, this is amazing. If you want to know more about this, if you're a note taker, jot this down. Verses 20 to 28. If you want to know this more in detail, read the book of Revelation, chapters 15 to 19. That is great detail of what we're talking about. Here it comes. Revelation chapter 15 to 19 speaks in detail of verses 25 to 28. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And those are not good signs, by the way. It's not going to have like Batman logo up there. This is going to be stuff that will freak people out. Here's the fun part about what we're doing right now. You guys, remember how I told you that Jesus commenced with this broad brush overview picture, and he talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. Are you with me? That happened in the past, right? Right. Then there are things that are escalating upward and onward to the culmination of his second coming. Now, this is amazing because if somebody wants to say, there are those running around of the preterist, they're called preterist. If you don't know what they're called, you don't need to care. But they're saying all of the prophecies have all been fulfilled. So they're all done. You don't need to get excited about nothing. Well, this is interesting. Those guys are so wrong, and here's one of the reasons why they're wrong, is yes, it began with the destruction of the temple, but look at verse 25. There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with no way out, the sea and the waves roaring. Listen, that's never happened. There is no record in history where the world was freaking out over bizarre, horrific terrors in the atmosphere. Now, see, Jesus fast forwards to the time of the end, which, by the way, is answered in Revelation chapters 15 to 19. And so this allows us a great understanding. I made mention of this a couple weeks ago, and it kind of upset some people, and I was tempted to not mention it again because now we come to it again. And so let me say this. Do you understand? Look at verse 25. There's going to be something in the atmosphere freaking out the world, and somehow the sun's going to be the backdrop, or the sun is going to wig out. Now, the book of Revelation tells us that power will be given to the sun, and it will scorch the earth with heat, and a great amount of human beings are going to be burned to death during the tribulation period because of the sun. Now, hear me out. And it says the moon's going to wig out. I don't know what that means, except that if the moon wigs out, we've got flooding like you can't imagine. And not only flooding, did you know that you'll have flooding going on in your own body? Did you know that you walk and live and move and breathe and exist because God has set a little balance ball out there that keeps you and I somewhat normal called the moon? Did you know the moon and its gravitational pull oscillates every 30 days and it literally affects your moods because it has tension on your body? What if the moon wigs out? So, man, don't say that. I'm wigging out enough. The moon's going to wig out. And the stars are going to get goofy. What does that mean? I don't know. I just know we navigate by the stars. What was once sure, they're going to be wiggling around. That'd freak you out. So check this out. This is creation gone haywire, huh? Now, this is the way I think, very twisted thinking. Is there not a massive push, a global push, to save this world? Listen, will man save this world? The Bible says no. Is it nice to try? Okay, we should pick up our trash. I understand that. We should recycle. It's nice. Fine. But listen, we're not going to save the world. Check this out. Are we not running around trying to save all the animals from dying? Yes, and that's a good thing. I love animals. But are we going to be able to save the animals? Maybe in some little degree for a little bit of time, maybe, I don't know. Do you understand right now there's a global push, and by the way, you are spending billions of your dollars, which you have so much to give away, on preserving the planet globally, that here's the deal. We're doing all this right now to take care of it. And as a world, not you, but as a world, are we not worshiping this planet? Are we not trying to burp it and change its diaper and take care of it? We call it, not you and I, but we, the human race, calls it our mother. And yet we're trying to save our mommy. That, according to the New Age world's view, is it gave birth to us. And they teach that the world is freaking out and it's panicking and she's moaning right now, that she's lamenting. I'm not joking. And we need to save her. Noble cause, wrong motive. Should we as Christians be the best environmentalists on the planet? Absolutely. But do we know, because we've got a very clear, better understanding so that we might know what to do, picture of what's coming? I assure you, if you walked into a tree-hugging convention and read Revelation chapters 15 to 19 and Luke chapter 21, you would get killed. Because you would say, Jesus said, it's all going to come apart. And people will go nuts. Even though Jesus is the Prince of Peace, they won't listen to that part and they'll want to kill you. Why? Because you've touched something that you don't touch. Don't touch it. Why? I'll tell you why. The Bible says that this world has been subjected to sin. Check this out. Romans 8, verse 20 says, against its will. Romans 8, 20. It says, against its will, creation became subject to God's curse. That's the curse of sin. And now all creation anticipates the day when it will join God's redeemed children in glorious freedom from death and decay. In other words, when the Christian gets redeemed and when the end comes, that's when the environment gets fixed. When Jesus comes back, he's going to be saving the world, not us. For we know that nature has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present moment. And even we, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a promise for our future glory, we also groan to be released from pain and suffering that this creation is subject to. Is that not a perfect picture of where you and I live? Church, listen, real example. It's so tragic. It's so sad. And I don't know about your backyard. I have a lot of trees in my house, and so maybe this is why it does this. But I have these huge spiders everywhere. Do you have big spiders at your house? I hate spiders. I mean, I know God made them, but come on. They're freaking me out. You ever look at them up close? Another thing we have, I'm just complaining now. Another thing we have praying mantis all over our yard. Too many of them. And you can, you know, it's like you can't kill them because if you just yesterday evening, I'm watering the plants. She loves hydrangeas. So I'm praying to these hydrangeas, please grow. And I'm watering, and this about a 2-inch long praying mantis is on the leaf. He's looking at me and he goes like this. Right? Have you seen him? Man, have you ever seen their neck and they just turn around, they look? Weird. And then he goes like this. Watch. He goes like this. And I'm thinking, man, that thing's freaky attitude. Freaky attitude. And I'm looking at it. And I'm about this far. I'm about 2.5 feet away from it. And he jumps on my arm. I jumped. What made him do that? So I got a big can of Raid. And I know he's good for the yard and all that stuff. And I went like this, and then the Lord said, Jack, he's okay. This morning, I walk outside in the pitch black night, and there is a massive web right outside the door. You know, you walk out there. Good morning, God. This huge spider's right there, and then, and its thing's spasming out, freaking out, curling up. You know, remember how Barack Obama killed that fly in the office? Remember that? You see that? Falls over dead. I sprayed it, it's laying down there, and it's dying. And I thought, you know what? That is really sad. It's sad. And you guys, this verse came to my mind. That spider was dying because it is held captive by the grip of sin. It is suffering from the sin of humankind, which has subjected this world to the curse. That spider probably had kids. He probably had a little spider job. He probably was an amazing parent. Incredible web. Worked hard all night. I kill it. And then now I'm thinking, you know what, man? I mean, I know it's just a dumb spider, but now I just fulfilled that verse. The whole nature groans waiting for the children of men to get redeemed. Can you imagine? I was going down the mountain, Big Bear Mountain, and a squirrel ran across the road, and I felt it under my tire, and I looked back in the mirror, and I ran his tail over, and it pulled his tail out. I'm sure he bled to death, but he was, and I thought, this is horrific. This is horrible. Can you imagine that poor squirrel? It's like, you children of God need to follow the Lord. You guys all right? Verse 27 says, and they will see. Notice this. This is the end. This is the end. I mean, it's the end of the message, and it's the end. Verse 27, then they, not you, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, when you begin to see these shadows being cast by the events that are coming, look up. This is, can you imagine that generation yet future when they read this? The sky's shaking, the moon's all wigging out, the sun is going nuts, and they're going to grab their Bibles and they're going to go, you know what? Wait a minute, right there. Oh my goodness. Oh, in the midst of these last 7 years, it's been horrible. Oh my goodness. Look at that. Look at that verse there in Luke 21, 27, 28. Oh my goodness. When we begin to see these things happen, look up. Your redemption draws near. Can you imagine how excited they're going to be? They're going to read it. You guys, people in the future are going to read the Bible that's on your lap. And they're going to get excited because they know the Lord during that tribulation period. And they're going to know that his coming is near. I love the fact that God is more concerned about your redemption than maybe we are. Very quickly, we're almost done. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. That's the second coming. Even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Psalm 40, verse 7. Then I said, behold, in the volume of the book it is written about me. Awesome. Daniel 7:13. In the Hebrew prophet Daniel recorded, Daniel said, I was watching in a night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one which shall never be destroyed. Wow. 2 Peter 3:3. Know this first, that in the last days scoffers will come walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his return? For since the fathers have fallen asleep, all things continue as they have from the beginning. For this, Peter said, they are willingly ignorant. Wow. Jesus has made it very clear, my friend. He's made it very clear. I want you to think about that for a moment. What an amazing God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a mini-series called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus. And of course, the implication being that we can believe in a false Jesus, as well as false prophets, false doctrines, and so forth, just as Scripture warns, both Old and New Testaments. It's part of our verse-by-verse journey through the Gospel of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in commemoration of Passion Week and the Real Jesus, we recently brought to you portions of a four-part series called Only Jesus, and we want to let you know that it's still available on DVD through Real Radio. Our offer? For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send to you Pastor Jack's four-part DVD series, Only Jesus. Call, click, or write in order to do so. Ask for it by name if you call or visit us online. Only Jesus. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can pay us a visit at our new realradioactive.org. Realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.